Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. You ever have a sermon that just seems like it's written for you? Well, this sermon was entitled, What Do You Do When Everything Goes Wrong? And I was going through one of those times, so this one spoke to me. If you'd like to come join us, you can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or you can watch us live stream on Facebook at 10:45 every Sunday, Sharon Baptist Concord, as well on Facebook. Here's Pastor James Strickland, but to set up this message, I'm going to start with a snippet of a song.
I know we could all say that our Lord has never let us down. I wish I could say I never let Him down. Well, I can't say that. If I did, I'd tell a story, wouldn't I? He's always there. Thank God for His presence, His abiding care and love for us. You know, He loves me when I'm so-called good, and He loves me when I'm not so good. He loves me when I'm up, and He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm in and when I'm out, when I'm sick and when I'm well. He just loves me. And you can say the same thing, can't you? I often wonder sometimes why in this world He could love me. I guess I won't know that answer till I get to heaven, but I do know when I look at the cross why He loves me. Amen. Amen. I want to share a message today, and hopefully the message and song set the pace of what I'm going to share. When all things in your life seem to go wrong, have you ever heard a person say, I just can't catch a break? I know we've probably all heard that at some time or another. Maybe you said that. Maybe you're there in your life today seeming to say that I just can't seem to catch a break. Well, our nation may be there. And we certainly need a spiritual break, don't we? But until our nation's peoples humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, we're not going to get that break we need. That's the only way we're ever going to get it. So, I want to cite you today two examples, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Two men who in their lives, you could look at the life that they lived and you could see all things seeming to go wrong in their lives. But yet, God used both of them greatly. They were godly men, loved the Lord, and God used them in a very marvelous way. One of them's name from the Old Testament was Joseph. And the used example in the New Testament I'm going to use as the Apostle Paul. What I want to do today is introduce you with Joseph, and then hopefully, with God's help, to inspire you from the life that the Apostle Paul lived. So let's do a quick review, if you will. And you all probably know the story of Joseph. If you don't, if you've never read your Bible, you're not familiar with it, go back to the book of Genesis, between the chapters like 39, 40, and 41, along there. And you'll find all the events that I'm going to share with you here concerning Joseph's life. Now, we'll pick up Joseph's life as a youngster, as a teenager. He was despised of his brothers, and they caught him one day and threw him into a pit, leaving him for supposedly dead. Well, one of the brothers got under real conviction about what they'd done, and he lifted him out of the pit and saved his life. Well, then the brothers got together, and they sold Joseph as a slave. Some Midianite camel traders came by, and they sold Joseph into slavery. These Midianites were headed toward Egypt. Well, they bought Joseph and took him to Egypt. And when in Egypt they came by, they sold Joseph again to one of the Pharaoh's generals, I guess you could say, a man named Potiphar. So they sold Joseph to Potiphar as a household slave. So it didn't look like things were going too well for Joseph, did it? Well, he was faithful, and Joseph served Potiphar well, and God blessed Joseph, and he excelled in Potiphar's home, and Potiphar recognized the potential in Joseph, so he made Joseph the head steward over all his household, and he seemed to be doing well at that point. Well, Potiphar's wife put an evil eye upon Joseph, and she tried to include Joseph in a sex scandal, which Joseph, of course, rejected. And then a lie was told on Joseph that he attempted probably to rape Potiphar's wife. So Potiphar puts Joseph in jail. And now he's in jail, never thinking he'd ever get out alive. And then the chief butcher and baker were put in jail also by the Pharaoh, and they had dreams. And one of them dreamed that he was going to be the head butcher again for the Pharaoh, and one of them dreamed he'd be the chief baker again for Pharaoh. Well, one of them was killed, one of them was saved alive and restored. They had promised Joseph when they got before the king, Pharaoh, that they would give a good word on Joseph's behalf. So they didn't. So here you find Joseph still in prison. 2 more years passes by, and Pharaoh has a dream. He dreams about the kine or the cows coming up out of the Nile River. And he has a dream that he can't understand. And he can't have any of his so-called soothsayers. None of those men could interpret the dream. And then the restored person remembered Joseph. And he said, "There's a man yet in prison, Pharaoh, that could interpret dreams. His name is Joseph." So then Pharaoh invites Joseph to come. And he stands before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gives Joseph his dream. And of course, you know the story if you've read it. He interpreted by God's divine wisdom that there were going to be 7 great years of plenty in Egypt, then 7 great years of famine. And then the Pharaoh then elevated Joseph to the number 2 position in Egypt, only under the Pharaoh himself. Joseph had all control of everything that went on in Egypt. So you see how it seems that when everything in Joseph's life was going the wrong way, how that God elevated him and brought him through and delivered him from all the perplexities and afflictions of his life. Now, if God could do that for Joseph, He can do that for you. He can do that for me. In fact, He will do that for you and me, because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we'll learn to live like Joseph lived and to do what Joseph did, depend on God, God will indeed bring us through. It's like the old hymn, part of an old hymn says, "When all things go wrong, God will make them right." He did in Joseph's life, didn't He? Now, let's move to the other example I want to share with you from the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. I want you to turn with me in your scriptures. We're going to go a little more detail with Paul's example than we did Joseph. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want you to look at verses 23 through verse 28. Verse 23 through 28, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And here you find an example, I guess you'd call this a testimony that Paul gives of his life, what had happened when he was, you know, in ministry for the Lord. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23 through verse number 28, look at Paul's own words about his life and see how all things really seem to go wrong in Paul's life too. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft." And then he gives a great testimony of his life. He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. If there was ever a person who would use the events of life as excuses to just throw up their hands and quit, it certainly would have been, wouldn't it not, the Apostle Paul. If afflictions, persecutions, all the things he mentioned here could be used as excuses, Paul could have said, well, I've taken all I'm going to take. I'm done. I'm out of here, we'd say today, probably. I want you to examine just a little bit closer these things Paul says about his life. This list of things he gives here. I want you to look at it with me in detail. He says, first of all, he says, 5 times was I beaten of the Jews, 40 stripes save one. Does that sound kind of strange? Why would they say 40 stripes save one? The Jewish law was, if you beat an individual or a prisoner or whoever, if you came to flog them, beat them, if you beat them 40 stripes, you could not beat them again. But if you beat them 39 stripes, you could beat them as many times as you wanted to. And so Paul says, 5 times I was beaten of the Jews, 40 stripes save one. Now, beloved, listen, those weren't just casual reprimands. These were severe beatings that Paul received of his fellow Jews, you might say, his countrymen. 5 times, he says, most severe he was beaten. Then he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. The closest thing I could compare with today might be some of these Oriental countries who cane sometimes their prisoners, and they would take canes and beat them. It's most severe. Paul says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. And in Paul's day, this beating with rods could very well result in death. So 3 times Paul was beaten with rods. And then he said, once I was stoned and left for dead. They thought they'd stoned Paul to death and just threw him out of the city. Yet he didn't die. Then he says, I was shipwrecked 3 times. Beloved, I don't know how many times you could survive a shipwreck. I had a personal precious friend of mine in Tennessee, one of the deacons in the church I pastored there. John Stout was his name. John served in World War II. And John served on battleships, destroyers. He was shipwrecked 3 times. 3 ships were shot out from under him, and yet he survived. I kind of equated that with what Paul's saying here, that he had been shipwrecked 3 times. And one time he said, I floated a day and a night in the deep on a piece of wreckage from one of the shipwrecks. And then he says, I have faced many perils. He faced perils from his friends, so-called friends, as well as from his foes. Paul was no stranger to nakedness, thirst, hunger, pain, loneliness. He suffered severe cold in the dungeon in the prison at Rome. Who could survive all this and not get a little bit angry? Look at Joseph, what happened to him. Now look at Paul, what had happened to him. How could Joseph do it? How could Paul do it? They did. We know that he did. How could Paul retain his faith and Joseph retain his faith through all things in their lives seemingly to go wrong? Well, yet both of them survived, didn't they? Both of them did well. Both of them came through. God blessed them both. God greatly used them both in His ministry, didn't He? So how'd they do it? How do you do it today? Or can we do it today as they did then? So Paul moves on in his life here in his dialogue. He doesn't just discuss his afflictions. He moves on to a second thing in his life that I want you to see. He talks about his affection. If you look at verse 28, you'll see it. He said, beside those things that are without. What things is he talking about? All those things he had just said, all those events that took place in his life, all those afflictions, persecutions, all those events, all those horrible things that happened to him. He said, beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Paul had a deep care for the churches, for his fellow Christians, for his fellow brethren in the faith, for his fellow soldiers in the ministry, for his fellow pilgrims, his fellow sojourners. Even with all the things that Paul experienced from without, he said from within, there was a great inner desire and a love, Paul said, an affection for the churches, also for the Jews as well. On one occasion, Paul said, I would classify myself as cursed of God, cut off from God, if you will. I would say in literal terms, it meant Paul would say, I would be willing to die and go to hell if Israel could be saved. That's how much he cared. Paul loved the Jews in spite of all the things they afflicted him with, of all the things they said about him and accused him of and lied about him on. Then he said, I have the care of the churches. If you know anything about Paul's ministry, you'll know this. Everywhere Paul went, if at all possible, he started a church. He planted a church everywhere he went. He was a church man. One time a man, a fellow pastor, was talking to me about the church. He said, you just gone to seed on the church, haven't you? I said, yes, sir, I have. I said, because my Jesus said, my church will I build, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he's coming back for his church, his bride. And I want to be a part of what he's coming back for, don't you? Yes, I've gone to seat on the church, and I'm always going to be a church man. So was the Apostle Paul. Paul loved the churches. He visited them often when he could. He prayed for the churches daily, he says here. The care of the churches is upon me, he says, in a daily effort. I pray for them. And many times he said, in tears, he said, I have prayed for the churches. Paul always loved the church and prayed for the church and had a great affection for the church. And Paul never forgot the church. The church was Paul's joy and Paul's crown. He shed tears. He prayed day and night for the church. Paul's affection for the churches never wavered, never faltered, never dimmed, and was never destroyed. It was a daily thing with the Apostle Paul. When he was in prison, when he was not. When he was afflicted, when he was not. He always had in the very innermost part of his heart a love for the church. No matter how wrong things might have happened in Paul's life, he was able to withstand the afflictions that came upon him because of his affection for the churches. But Paul didn't just stop here talking about his afflictions and his affection for the church. Paul, through his ministry, if you'll follow his lifestyle throughout the New Testament, you'll see, Paul had an acclamation to make. Through all the things that happened to Paul, he said, the Lord stood by me. Praise God, the Lord, he said, stood by me. Listen, Joseph couldn't have gone through all the things he went through if the Lord had not stood by him. Paul could not have gone through all the things he went through had not the Lord stood by him. Beloved, listen to me. You can't go through the afflictions, persecutions, and trials and events of life if the Lord does not stand with you. You can't stand in, you can't make it alone. So many have tried and all have failed. Joseph is a good example. Paul is a good example. Their faith, look at it. Examine Joseph's life. Examine Paul's life. You'll never see where their faith in the Lord ever wavered, did it? Paul says, through all his afflictions, but the Lord stood by me. The Lord delivered them both out of all their troubles and all their problems. When Paul started thinking about problems, he didn't just center his attention on his problems. He thought about the problems of other people that other people had, the problems in the churches, the problems with the Jews, the problems with the lost. He always thought about somebody else besides himself. And he claims, through all these things that happened, the Lord stood by me. The Lord delivered Joseph, and God delivered Paul, and He will you, and He will me. And listen, He will our nation. To some point in time, He'll deliver as it pleases and honors Him. Paul never let his problems dominate his life. Through all the afflictions, all the beatings, all the stonings, all the shipwreck, all the perils, all the trouble and problems, he said, the Lord stood by me. I can testify to you, stand before you, before our Lord today, and say, the Lord has stood by me. God has never failed me. God has never forsaken me in the deepest hour of my life, and I won't share that with anybody but the Lord. He knows. In the deepest hour of my life, I knew the Lord stood by me. I'd have never made it otherwise. And the deepest point in your life, you go back and you just review it in your own life. You know there's a point in your life that you come to that, don't you? Everybody has that point sometime in their life. The deepest, darkest point in your life. Go back to that point this morning and ask yourself, did God not stand by you? He did. Paul could be so assured because he had stood by the Lord. Joseph could be the same and be so assured because he had stood by the Lord. If you stand by the Lord, He's going to stand by you. If there's any forsaking or forgetting, it begins with us first, doesn't it? So he said, whatever's going on, the Lord stood by me. When all things in your life may seem to be going wrong, from the volatility in our government today, and there's a lot of things I can say about that, and I won't. But you understand. From the volatility in our government today to the very virus 19, they're calling it COVID, from all those things seemingly to go wrong in our nation, the Lord has stood by America for 220 years. Not many nations have lasted beyond 200 years. 2020, God has blessed us. The Lord stood by us. We've never been forsaken of the Lord. Our nation's never been forgotten of the Lord. He's right where He's always been. God never moves. God's omniscient. He knows everything. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God knows all. He sees all. He's everywhere. He knows exactly what's going on. Listen to me. He is still in control. He's never left control. He's never lost control. He's never going to lose control. He's always Almighty God, and He's always going to be. And He will deliver us if we'll do what Joseph and Paul did. If we'll live like Joseph and Paul lived, we can say with a certainty in our lives, with an acclamation that Paul said, when all things go wrong, He'll make them right. Do you realize how much God used Paul? Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament under the inspiration and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. So if Joseph could trust the Lord to do all this for him, and he did, and Paul could trust the Lord to do all those things through his life, and we know history proves out that he did, what does that inspire us today to say? I've got to trust the Lord. If you haven't ever come to Him, you need to come to Him and put your faith and your trust in Him and Him alone. Not in the government, not in the nation, not in the scientists, not anybody else. Put your faith and trust in the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. Indeed, He will. Well, how are you so sure about that, preacher? Well, look at Joseph. He came from a pit to a palace. Who did it? Joseph? No. God did it. Paul came from the lowest beatings, stonings, that you could receive and came back to live and was used mightily of God. Did Paul do it? No. Did Paul figure it out? No. God did it through Christ in Paul's life. It seems to me, as I read the Word of God, things worked out okay for Joseph. And things worked out okay for the Apostle Paul, even though he was beheaded for his ministry and faith in Jesus Christ. He might have been beheaded here, but he was enthroned over there. Amen. He had a crown waiting for him. So what does that say to us today? When all things seem to go wrong in government, politics, everyday life, even in the church, sometimes things go wrong. Listen, God will make them right. I heard an old song or statement or something one time years ago. It said this, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Amen. He's the answer, beloved. He's the only answer. Won't you trust Him? Would you come to Him? Those who may be viewing us today, would you trust Jesus? You can trust Him. Joseph trusted Him. Look how he blessed him. Paul trusted him. Look how he blessed him. We could all stand and testify who know the Lord Jesus that as you trust Him, He'll make it come to pass. He'll work it out all for your betterment and for His honor and for His glory. I've never been one moment sorry that I gave my life to Jesus. And I never will. Paul wasn't, Joseph wasn't, and you won't be either. So if you've already trusted Him, great, well and good. Continue to put your faith in Him. Continue to trust in Him. It seems like even things may seem like they go wrong. In the end, they're going to be right. You know how I know? God will see to it. It says in the Bible, shall not the Lord of all the earth do right? He's always done right. He's going to do right now. He's going to do right in your life, and He's going to do right in the end. And I'm so thankful that I'm serving one who's in control of the beginning and the end. If you haven't trusted Him, trust Him today. Give your heart and life to Him today. He's done all He can do for us. Let's then do all we can do for Him. Amen? Let's stand together and pray. And Lord Jesus, how can we ever say thank You? All You've done in our lives, I know You'd tell us in return, what I want You to do is to serve me, is to live for me, is to honor me, trust me, try me, prove me, says the Lord. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and bless You with a blessing that You can't even contain in Your life. Certainly, Lord, You've done that for us already as a nation, and our nation has turned its back on You. Lord, our nation was a godly nation at one time. Now it's mostly ungodly. There's a remnant left of us who serve You and love You and live for You. And for that sake, I believe, Lord, You've had mercy upon America. But I don't know how much longer, Lord, that mercy is going to hold out. One day You're going to say it's enough. You're going to bring judgment. Heavenly Father, I pray that when things seem to go all wrong and the outlook doesn't look very good, Lord, we'll all try the uplook. Because I know as we look up to the Lord Jesus, and as we do what Psalm 121 tells us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heavens and earth. And we trust You, Lord, in that, both now and forever. And I pray for those who may be viewing, listening. I pray that Your will might be worked out in our lives as it was in Joseph and in Paul. To Your honor, glory, and praise, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us and re-listen to this sermon if you'd like to on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Of course, you can also get directions on our website to come join us on Sundays. We are open Sundays at 10:45. We also live stream on Facebook at 10:45 as well. Sharon Baptist Concord as well, same name, on Facebook. So come join us or watch us online. We hope you enjoyed the message. God bless you. See you next week.